वासुदेवायां ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायां. So reading from Canto 5, Chapter 4, text from 9 to 14. The chapter is called The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. So we will just go through the translations. Okay, so translation 9. My dear King, in the imitation heavens known as Bilaswarga, there's a great demon named Maya Danava, who is an expert artist and architect. He has constructed many brilliantly decorated cities. There are many wonderful houses, walls, gates, assembly houses, temples, yards and temple compounds, as well as many hotels serving as residential quarters for foreigners. The houses for the leaders of these planets are constructed with the most valuable jewels, and they are always crowded with living entities known as Nagas and Asuras, as well as many pigeons, parrots, and similar birds. All in all, these imitation heavenly cities are most beautifully situated and attractively decorated. Text 10. The parks and garden in the artificial heavens surpass in beauty those of the upper heavenly planets. The trees in those gardens, embraced by creepers, bend with heavy burden of twigs with fruits and flowers, and therefore they appear extraordinarily beautiful. That beauty could attract anyone and make his mind fully blossom in the pleasure of sense gratification. There are many lakes and reservoirs with clear, transparent water, agitated by jumping fish and decorated with many flowers such as lilies, kuvalayas, kahlaras, and blue and red lotuses. Pairs of chakravakas and many other water birds nest in the lakes and always enjoy in happy mood, making sweet, pleasing vibrations that are very satisfying and conducive to enjoyment of all of the senses. Text 11. Since there is no sunshine in those subterranean planets, time is not divided into days and nights, and consequently, fear produced by time does not exist. Text 12. Many great serpents reside there with gems on their hoods, and the effulgence of these gems dissipates the darkness in all directions. Text 13. Since the residents of these planets drink and bathe in juices and elixirs made from wonderful herbs, they are freed from all anxieties and physical disease. They have no experience of gray hair, wrinkles, or invalidity. Their bodily luster do not fade. Their perspiration does not cause a bad smell, and they are not troubled by fatigue or by lack of energy or enthusiasm due to old age. They live very auspiciously and do not fear death from anything but death's established time, which is the influence of the Sudarshana Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the defect of material existence. Everything in the subterranean heavens is very nicely arranged. There are well-situated residential quarters. There is a pleasing atmosphere, and there are no bodily inconveniences or mental anxieties. But nevertheless, those who live there have to take another birth according to karma. Persons whose minds are dull cannot understand this defect of a materialistic civilization aiming to material comfort. One may make his living condition very pleasing for the senses, but despite all favorable condition, one must in due course of time meet death. The members of a demoniac civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check death. The influence of Sudarshan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endure. Omagyana divirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuranmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kada mahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paridanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to ask for your blessings before we, if I'm able to speak some. Hare Krishna. So here, we're discussing about the lower planetary system. It's called the subterranean heavenly planets. It's very nicely explained how the whole place looks extremely beautiful. When we go through the verses, there's a description of nice buildings, gardens, birds, animals, temples. Temple courtyards, but no sunlight. But Krishna made an arrangement of the gems on the head of the Nagas. It also mentions that these subterranean heavenly planets, they are more beautiful than the heavenly planets themselves. Throughout the whole universe, it's seen that all the different places except for the Bhumandala, the earthly planetary system, is very beautiful. Among the earthly planetary system, except for Bharatavarsha, is all considered as heavenly planets, all heavenly region, very nice facilities. Only in the planet we stay is a place where we have to go through old age, disease, infections, problems. Other places, not so much. That makes a very, very significant point. You know, our acharyas, they mention that in the whole universe, the earthly planet is the most, is considered the most pious. Among them, the Bharatavarsha. Within Bharatavarsha, then we have the Bharatakhanda, that what we see as India today. Within the Bharatakhanda, there is the area of Bengal. Within Bengal, Nadia district is the most, how to say, is the best among all. And within Nadia, Navadvip is the highest. The reason mentioned for all this is because in this particular area is where we can appreciate and cultivate our devotional service to the maximum level. In other areas, because of so much opulence and so much facility, we tend to forget Krishna. And that's a normal thing. When we are happy, we forget Krishna. When we are sad, then we remember Krishna. That's the definition of a demigod. When they are in distress, they will approach Krishna. When they are enjoying, they may not. But when they have problem, so these people are called Sura. They are like demigod. They are like demigods. So, because of this situation that is created for us here, we become the most fortunate people. Because we can understand Krishna consciousness and we can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, our focus gets diverted into so many different opulence, so many facilities, and we tend to not realize the mercy of the Lord. Krishna takes care of every living entity, but we are always very, very careful to make facilities and comforts for ourselves. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that human life is meant for performing austerity. But when it comes to austerity, we tend to run away. So it is very, very important that doesn't matter what situation we come under, we always have to remember Krishna. We always have to please the senses of Krishna. That's how we become Krishna conscious. Many times there is a discussion in Gurukul. Since Srila Prabhupada, he wanted Gurukul students to come out as the leaders of the society. So I was contemplating on this point, what is the leader? And there is a very, very simple formula mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. We learn it as the peace formula. Krishna says, Bhuktaram Yagya Tapasam. I am the enjoyer of all sacrifice. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the Lord of the universe. So this particular part, it becomes as the desire to control and enjoy that all of us have. We all want to control and we all want to enjoy. That's why there is always competition in the world. Who is going to be better? Who is going to do things better? It's also in the material world, also in the spiritual world. In material world, is meant for ourselves, to please us. In spiritual world, it's meant to please Krishna. But it's always there. So we want to control and enjoy. But in the same shloka, Krishna defines how can you do it. He says, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He says, I am the well-wisher of all living entities. So unless and until you become the well-wisher of those who are under you, those who are subordinate to you, those whom you are supposed to take care of, they will not accept you as the authority. Then you cannot become a proper leader. It's, you know, you have to sacrifice. You have in regards to achieve anything in life, we have to make sacrifice. For example, if you want to become a good cook, you have to sacrifice your time in cutting, preparing, making the menus, applying, learning, studying, seeing from others. We have to work hard. And then we can come out with a very nice preparation. If we want to dress the deities' outfits, we want to make the deities' outfits, we want to decorate the altar very nicely, we have to plan how to do it, where places should go, where should the flower vases go. Everything needs to be planned. So unless and until we do that, it doesn't manifest in the way how it is supposed to be done. So Krishna being the well-wisher of all living entities, he makes all this beautiful facility. In this facility, even though because of the earthly planet, there is no sun rays going to the lower regions, he makes facilities that they all have their private torchlights on their head. It is a gem for the Nagas. And from that gem, Sri Prabhupada translates, he says, basically there is always light. There is no problem of light. They can always see. They have facility of enjoying themselves. But there is another form of a living entity's conditioned nature which is shown. That is not being satisfied. Even though they have such a beautiful arrangement, staying satisfied by this arrangement, not being satisfied by this arrangement, they want to come up to the heavenly planets and rule there. They want to occupy that place also. So from this, we can see our own self. We are also like this. In English, there is a very nice saying. It says, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Now we like something. For example, if we like a watch, we buy a watch. And then once we have it, it doesn't contain the same value as it used to before having it. Now we want something better. Before we were all happy with a small, with a small phone, with no internet, no radio. The only thing you could do is make a call and accept a call. But then desires increased, and now we have smartphone in which you can do everything. Some people, they use it for Krishna's service. Some people don't. But the theory of being not being satisfied is seen. So it is very, very important that we remain satisfied by the facilities that Krishna gives it to us. In the third canto, there is a description of, basically meant for us, devotees. I think Sudha Goswami is mentioning. He says, when there is a facility of nice green grass all over the world, what is the need of having a soft bed? When there is a facility of taking shelter under the tree, why you need to build a big, huge mansions? When there is a facility of your hand to use as a pillow, why do we have to use opulent pillows? And what has happened? Did we lose all our faith in the Lord? Or the mercy of the Lord doesn't come through anymore? Why do saintly people run behind the big businessman just to extract some money? All these things come because of not having complete faith in the Lord. There's one very beautiful pastime which happened in Dwarika. It mentions Krishna would come late very often to the palace of Satyabhama Devi. Very often he would come late. And Satyabhama Devi, she would always fight and argue, why you are coming late? Why you are coming late? This is so late. You must have gone somewhere else, must be hanging out with some other lady. Why you are late? And Krishna always used to give a reason. I have to take care of the whole universe. As long as I don't do it, I cannot sleep. It's my duty. So one day, when she was applying kumkuma on her forehead and in her part of her hair, so she was contemplating on this point that Krishna always says that I have to take care of the universe. So she decided to test Krishna. She took two grains of rice. No, sorry. She took an ant and put it inside the box where she was having kumkuma. And she closed it and kept it on her table. And then Krishna comes again late at night. And Satyabhama Devi says, so what's your excuse today? Why are you late? He says, well, I have to take care of the universe. I'm the Lord of the universes. I have to take care. Oh, really? Yes. So you took care of all the living entities? Yes. Every single one of them? Yes. He says, and what if you didn't take care of some? He says, no, it's not possible. I always take care of all living entities. He says, okay, but to test you, I have put this ant inside my kumkuma box. What is the ant going to eat? How is the ant going to maintain herself? And Krishna said, oh, I already provided 3 days of food for the ant. What do you mean you provided food for the ant? He said, yeah, check. And she opens the box and there are 2 grains of rice inside. In which you put the kumkuma and you apply rice on the kumkuma. So when she was applying the rice, some of them fell inside this box and she didn't notice. So very nicely, Krishna took care of them. Of the ants which were, you know, taken care by Satyabhama Devi put inside the box. So Krishna took care very nicely. In our own life, there was one devotee. I think this pastime happened during Srila Prabhupada's time. There was one devotee, they opened a center in some different part of the world. And they were trying to maintain the temple by doing book distribution. And they were having a lot of difficulties maintaining the temple. And at one point, they had no money and the electric bill came. It was quite a good amount. The devotees had no money. So if no money, no electricity, finish. And the devotees were really working hard to distribute books and collect Lakshmi and pay this electric bill. But it was not happening. At one point, the devotees gathered around the Lord and requested, my dear Lord, if we cannot pay electricity bill, then we will not be able to maintain the beauty of your altar. The devotees will not have hot water during winter. Please, please help us. And then they like that, they sprang to the Lord like that. They went for doing book distribution. Whole day passed. Not much happened. And then that was the last day. The next day they are supposed to pay the bill. That was the last day of the bill. And the evening, somebody came and he said, hey, here's an envelope. Keep it for yourself. And the devotee said, okay, please take this back to Godhead magazine. And he says, no, I don't need it. And he walked off. And the person, he came back to the temple, and he opened the envelope, and they collected the Lakshmi, and it was exactly, how does it, the amount was exact to pay the electric bill. No difficulties. We had a similar experience in Gurukul in 2007. We went out on Orissa Parikrama. We wanted to walk from Jagannath Puri to Mayapur. It's about 500-600 kilometers. We had 1 month. And we were begging like, you know, traditional brahmacharis, morning, evening, whatever you beg, you collect. And whatever is left, extra, you give it out. No saving for the next day. So one day, we entered Remuna, Kirachara Gopinath. And our teacher, Priti Vardhan Prabhu, he said, whatever we collect today, we will spend for buying kheer from Gopinathji, Gopinath Mahaprasad. And the boys were all enthusiastic about it. We were in the market area, so we started to do the begging in the market area. But just when we enter, we are sitting down, a bit tired. This one person comes. He says, where are you from? What are you doing? He says, oh, we are just Gurukul students on our Padayatra. And we are just here to take darshan of Gopinathji. And he immediately pulled out 100 rupees and gave it to us. Okay, finally, we continued doing Madhukari in the market, and everybody kept on giving us Lakshmi. And we came out to 340 rupees we collected. Then we went to Gopinath temple, we took darshan, we were very nicely greeted by the pandas over there, we did kirtan, and they took us, he says, you should take some Gopinath Mahaprasad, and they gave us Gopinath ji's Rajvog. And then we went to buy this kheer. And we were 8 of us. And each pot of kheer is a big cup, costs 40 rupees. So it cost us 320 rupees. And before that, my teacher had told us that you should buy half a kilo of chira. you know, to eat with the kheer. So I went and bought 1 kilo of chira. And I asked, so how much is this chira? And he says, it's 20 rupees per kilo. So it ended up exactly 340 rupees. And we came back to the ashram, and each one of us had a big cup of kheer and some chira. And, you know, we had, the next day was Ekadashi. Now in Jagannath Puri, nobody follows Ekadashi. Everybody eats rice. And because in Jagannath Puri, they don't follow Ekadashi, throughout whole Orissa, nobody follows Ekadashi. So now we are wondering, what are we going to do? We cannot beg, because next day, you know, because everybody will just give us rice. So we decided, okay, we'll drink only water. What to do? You know, only just drink water and survive on Ekadashi. Again in the evening, we go to take darshan of Gopinathji, do kirtan. And we meet an ISKCON devotee over there, one brahmachari from Bhuvaneshwar temple. He's so happy to see us from Mayapur, and very, very nice devotee. And he says, Prabhu, I have a room nearby. And why don't you come and take Ekadashi feast prasadam with us tomorrow? There's two brahmacharis. He said, they invited us for Ekadashi feast preparation. And I remember we had Sabudana Khichdi, Paneer Sabji, we had lotus stem Sabji, peanuts, fruits, and couple sweets. We walked for 1 month, and we were for Ekadashi, we were buried twice. One in Remuna and once in Bhadrak. Okay, what we are going to do tomorrow, we are entering Bhadrak, and tomorrow is Ekadashi. You know, and in Bhadrak is a city. In villages, people still, they are more charitable, more simple, so they know the tradition and culture more. So they will give us some rice and this and that. But in city, how are we going to beg? What are we going to do? And we entered Bhadrak at 5 o'clock in the morning, and these two people were jogging around the city, you know, jogging in the city, and they came and said, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. He said, what, you're going to the temple? He said, which temple? Oh, you are from ISKCON or from somewhere else? Oh, no, we are from ISKCON. No, there is a big temple in Bhadrak with huge Jagannath deities. Said, really? Okay. And then he said, okay, can you show us the route? He said, I live right next to the temple. I will take you there. And there is a deity installed by Srila Prabhupada. Their name is Gaura Gopal. Yeah, Gaura Gopal. And the devotees over there, they said they were the last deities installed by Srila Prabhupada. And right next to this ISKCON temple, there is a house of Atma Tattva Prabhu. I don't know, some of you may know Atma Tattva Prabhu. He was involved with us in Gurukul many years ago. So they have a very good relationship with us. And they have deities of Jagannath which are as big as in Jagannath Puri. Huge deities. Very nicely they do all their puja every day. And they have a big house. And they have more than 20 family members living in the house. You know, Prabhu, Mataji, their son, friend, relatives, this, that. We went to their house at 7 o'clock in the morning. We went to take darshan. We met one of the family members and, you know, interacting with them. Took us 1 hour. And they said, okay, sit down for breakfast. Breakfast is ready. What? No. We are supposed to go back to the temple and help them cook our Ekadashi Prasad, and then we are going to have breakfast. No, forget about it. You come to our house, you take breakfast here. And they didn't allow us to leave for 3 days. And in 3 days, we had feast 3 times each day. So we ended up having, in 3 days, we had 9 feasts. And all these days, while traveling in Orissa, we were maintaining ourselves on rice with some potatoes, rice with some mango, rice with some, you know, neem aloo, rice with some kochu, you know, very, very light food. So our stomach was not ready to handle this 9 feasts. A few days later, we got diarrhea. And we told Mataji, we can't handle this anymore. Just cook some khichdi for us, last meal. Just cook some simple khichdi, that's it. I said, okay. And we had our evening class, and we said, And there was one Prabhu who used to cook. He said, okay, come for Khichdi Prasadam. And we're like, okay, Khichdi, we can handle it. We go there. There are 9 different kinds of rice preparation. There is yogurt rice, coconut rice, tamarind rice. I don't know, all different kinds of, there were 9 different kinds of rice preparation. We finished that, and then we said, okay, we have to go tomorrow morning, 3 o'clock, we leave in the morning. And Mataji and her daughter-in-law, they stayed up, you know, from 12, they woke up at 12, they packed up, you know, puri sabji for us, gave us hot puri sabji in the morning, we left. At 6 o'clock in the morning, we had this breakfast, and Prithivardhan Prabhu said, look boys, all our stomachs are upset, plus we had this puri sabji just now, I think we should fast today. And all of us, we were like, yes Mishai, we are going to fast today, the stomach is really bad, we are going to fast today. And we continue walking. 9 o'clock, you know, Prithivardhan Prabhu is in the front, we are all at the back. He's like, hey, are you hungry? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm a little bit hungry. Why didn't you tell Mishai? No, you tell Mishai. No, come on, you tell Mishai. Nobody wants to say, because all of us agreed that we don't want to eat today. And nobody wants to say. So, you know, we came up to one place. And, you know, we were nicely, we came under this big, huge shopping mall, which was fully ready. You know, the bottom floor was fully ready, and the top floors were still under construction. And at the bottom, they have electricity, they have light, clean floor. Actually, we received this kind of places throughout our Orissa Parikrama. A new office, a new house, a new godown, a new shopping mall. In fact, we walked for 330 kilometers, and most of the time we were walking on National Highway. The highway was fully made, but the minister didn't come to do the opening ceremony for the highway. So on one side of the highway, we have a 4-lane track, completely empty, newly built, and there are 7 boys walking on it. And on the opposite side, there is this short lane express highway with all these ditches and a 2-way traffic jam. So there is a huge traffic jam on one side, and there are 7 boys walking on a 4-lane highway. You know, very nicely taken care of. So we came to the shopping mall, lie down, went to sleep. Woke up at 11, you know, somebody woke me up at 1 o'clock. He said, what are you doing here? Well, we are just brahmacharis, walk, doing padayatra, doing madhukari, this, that. And just taking some rest. We found some nice place, just taking some rest. Did you boys eat anything since morning? Like, no, we had some puri sabji, but that's all about it. He's okay, I would like to sponsor you some prasad. I said, hey, hold on, we have to ask our teacher. You know, he said, no eating. And then we asked him, he agreed. And the devotee, he said, okay, then I will get you some yogurt, some bananas, sugar, and chira, flat rice. And you can mix it together and eat. And when you combine all this, it's excellent for a bad stomach. So Krishna arranged, you know, even though we had, because before we came to Bhadrak, we were all complaining about the prasadam we were eating, you know, like rice and potatoes and salt. You know, they're complaining. So he arranged 3 days, 9 feasts. We complained about that. Next day, you know, fully taking care of our stomach. Wherever we went, you know, at one place I remember, they gave us their garage, and they cleaned it up nicely. We slept in there. And at night, they came up with some oil and warmed it up a little and started to massage our feet. And it's like, hey, Prabhu, please don't do. We're like, no, you are sadhus. We should do massage. It's difficult, you know, when to deal with people like that, when they want to give service. Because throughout the whole Orissa Parikrama, we had this experience. And Prithivardhan Prabhu, he explained, the only reason you are going through all this nice experience is because we are training to become fully depending on Krishna. Whatever we collect that day, it can be money, because some people give grain, some people give sabji, some people just give straight money. So the money that we collect, it was my service, I would go around the village wherever we stay, check out all the different sweet shops, and bring the best sweet for all the boys. So all the money that is collected, we spend it for buying sweets, and sometimes some spices, some ghee. And whatever rice we have, we cook, we eat, and whatever is left, we distribute it out. So no storage, everything, whatever you collect that day, spend that day. And we saw it was such a wonderfully, so wonderfully taken care by the Lord, that, you know, by our own means, if we try to do it, it may not come out well. But once you decide to give, to surrender yourself to Krishna, He takes full care. But then the question arises of all these great devotees who surrendered their life to Krishna, and they went through so much suffering. For example, Pandavas, from their very childhood, you know, they went to the forest, lived with their father, father died, came back, had to live with the Kauravas. Kauravas didn't like them, tried to kill Bhima. They left, stayed out for a few years, came back, you know, got married to Draupadi Devi, came back, got their kingdom divided, got only half a kingdom. Even after that, there was, they were thrown out, gambling, tried to disrobe Draupadi Devi, went to the forest, stayed in the forest for 14 years. When they came back, they had to kill all their relatives, friends, family members, gurus, everybody. Then they endured for 36 years and then went back to Godhead. There's so much difficulty throughout their whole life. So why should we surrender to Krishna? We see karmis who are, you know, well situated, that they don't have so much difficulties as much as the devotees have. There's a very beautiful analogy given. You have a golden ornament. To make it into an ornament, the gold has to go through heating, beating, you know, with a chisel and a hammer, you have to shape it, put it into cold water. And when they go through all these different stages, then you have a bright, shining golden ornament. At the same time, Maya Devi, she being one of the greatest devotees of the Lord, she performs her duty very well. Her duty is to make sure that no useless living entities, any conditioned living entities, go and disturb Krishna's pastimes. So she makes sure, and she is one of the best teachers. You know, she keeps on teaching us till we improve. She doesn't give up on us, like, forget about it, you are a useless guy. No, she keeps on teaching us. It starts mild, then you get some small hits by Maya. When you don't improve, then you get a big slap. Then you may improve. If you don't improve, try again next time. You get another lifetime. Again, it starts mild. If you improve, good. If you don't, big smack. Try again. So she keeps on doing it. So our duty as devotees is to always make sure that we never get disturbed by what Mahadevi is putting in front of us. You know, there's so many different things comes, we have to cross over it and get to Krishna. And when we actually cross over it, she is the one who connects us to Krishna in the form of Yoga Maya. She says, okay, now this student of mine is ready. My Lord, please accept him. She makes preparations, arrangements that how we can serve Krishna. There is one another story from Puranas, it comes. There was one sadhu who would go to take bath in the river every day. And one day he went to take bath and he saw a scorpion drowning in the river. So he tried to save the scorpion. He tried to pull it out and throw it on the shore. But every time when he would pick up the scorpion would sting him. Because of the pain, the scorpion would drop, you know, the scorpion would drop again. Again, he would try to save the scorpion and throw him on the shore. Again, the scorpion would sting him. And this thing happened many, many times. Now, there was one man sitting on the shore. He said, Babaji, what are you doing? The scorpion is stinging you again and again and again and again. And you're still trying to save him. Let him die. You're not such a guy. You're trying to save him and he's trying to hurt you. The sadhu gave a very beautiful answer. He said, it's the nature of a scorpion to sting. When a scorpion doesn't give up his nature, me being a sadhu, how can I give up my nature of being compassionate? How can I give up my duty of being compassionate? So a low-class animal doesn't do it, how can I do it? It's a very great lesson that we can learn from this. Is, you know, many times devotees, I'm saying it because it hurts me. Many times devotees we see, especially in the Western countries, when they go out for book distribution, when they go out for, you know, in public, they put on karmi clothes. They say, you know, we have to blend in with the people, you know, and appreciate them, and then we can catch their attention more. Recently, on behalf of Gurukul, we had a chance to go visit, do some preaching in Brazil. And we had a completely different experience. Three of us, we went. We were dressed up just like this, dhotis, chadars. And I like, so I put a turban on. And we were going like that, with wooden shoes. And people were just amazed and you know, seeing us. And they would come, this, where are you from? And they said, oh, we are Indian. Oh, Indiano. Like, yes. He said, oh, can we take a picture with you? Okay. You know, sometimes when you go to these village areas, you get like 20, 30 people just surrounding, wanting to take picture, asking, what are you doing? Where are you from? What are cool shoes you are wearing? You know, do you always dress like this? This is the best kind of dress. They always do that. So when we follow our culture, we follow our Vaishnava culture, it's people appreciate it so much more. And when we try to just merge in with them, put on pants and shirt, I saw devotees, they would go, hello, can I talk to you for a minute? And they're like, no, it's fine. And they would walk off. And we three of us, we are just standing there. And people would like walk up to us like, excuse me, sir, where are you coming from? Can we take a picture with you? Can I talk for you a little bit? Can you explain what are you doing? You just become like, wow, this person is something different. And, you know, let's see who these people are. And it's so easy to make devotees. So easy to make devotees like that. So it's just, you need to have faith in Krishna. Then when Mahaprabhu says, Rakhe Krishna ke mare Krishna ke rakhe ke, it's true. If Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can harm you. If Krishna wants to harm you, nobody can protect you. You know, Krishna wanted to kill Banasura, even Lord Shiva couldn't protect him. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee and Banasura is a devotee of Lord Shiva, Krishna just, you know, cut off all his, 996 hands and left him with four. Just to respect Lord Shiva. Otherwise he could have killed him. Lord Shiva came to battle. So what? Defeated. When Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can harm you. So if we want to, as Srila Prabhupada's followers, if we want to do some service, we should do it to the best of our capacity. That is our duty. Day before yesterday evening, I had a discussion with one of my friends, and in the discussion we were mentioning, by nature I'm very passionate, and for some reason, as a child, I always wanted to join army. I just wanted to join, I like the army. But, when I finished my high school, I got in touch with Gurukul, and then I completely changed my lifestyle. But I still consider myself as part of Srila Prabhupada's army. When Mahaprabhu said that Srila Prabhupada is his Senapati Bhakta, that means we are the soldiers, he is the general. The soldiers, where they are on the battlefield, they do get hurt. But it's not that you get hurt and you lie down on bed and you say, oh, sorry, I'm hurt, I cannot do it anymore, that's it, I'm not going. No. There's a war. Srila Prabhupada has said, you know, Mahaprabhu wants his preaching movement to go to every city, town and village. Srila Prabhupada is the general. He guides us. We are the soldiers. We got to fight. We got to make it. And Srila Prabhupada already did it. We just have to keep on making sure that it keeps on going. Unfortunately, in many places, it's not going because we don't perform our duty properly. We are not surrendered to Krishna. The only thing we got to do is, okay, Krishna, I'm a soul completely surrendered to you. Make me a puppet. I will dance as you please. That's what we got to do. And then we just got to depend on the Lord. Devotional service cannot become more difficult than we make it. And it cannot become more easier than we make it. Because we still got this, a free will. Whatever we want, we can do. So if we want to become devotees, Maharaj Katwanga, one moment he came to know he was going to die, the next moment gave up all attachments, became devotee, went back to Godhead. The gopis in Vrindavan, they heard Krishna's flute, left all their work at home, ran to Krishna. And they achieved Krishna. The Brahman, the wives of the Brahmanas, they heard Krishna is hungry, bang, out. They're gone. And what happened? They achieved the most, the highest perfection ever. So as much we try to hold back, no, this is mine, this and that, we lose. There's another wonderful pastime. There used to be one saint, one Grihastha Vaishnava in Maharashtra. His name was Tukaram Maharaj. He was initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his dreams. So this devotee was a very great devotee, very renowned devotee. Was from a Shudra background, but very great devotee. People used to consider him as a very great Vaishnava. Even today his sampradaya is going on. And many times people used to say that when you are about to leave your body, the vimana, the vimana from the Vaikuntha will come to take you. So when you are going, please don't forget us. We are your servants, your disciples. Please don't forget us. Please take us with you. Otherwise, you will not make it back to Godhead. And he said, okay, fine. And Tukaram Maharaj, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't give up his body. He went with this, with the body he had. He's in front of everybody. He sat on the Vimana, on the plane. The Vishnudutas came to receive him. He was sitting on the plane. People were seeing it. They were all chanting. And that time, Tukaram Maharaj said, okay, my dear brothers, as you asked me, I'm here. The Vimana has come. Please, my dear brother, come with me. Let's go back to Godhead. He said, Tukaram Maharaj, my daughter is only 16. And, once she's get married, I will come. I'm sorry, I cannot come now. Okay, what about you, dear brother? Please come. He says, after 10 years, we have a good harvest in our field. I'll do the harvest and I will come. What about you? He says, I just had a son born, 3 years ago. I have to check on his education and this and that. Sorry, I cannot come. And it happened. He went back to Godhead alone. There was facility. The Vimana is there. Vishnuduta is there. Tukaram Maharaj is ready to take whoever wants. Nobody went. Nobody. They all stayed back. And when he landed, they were all praising. They were all doing kirtan when he left. But nobody wanted to go. What you just had to do? Yes, sir, I'm coming. Just walk. But it didn't happen. They were all, their attachments grabbed them back. And they stayed in the material world. So it's devotional service is only as easy as we make it. And only as difficult as we make it. We can have all these facilities and much more, when we need it. One of my friends, he once said, young boys, we were having a discussion and he brought up one point. He said, the discussion was how not to get attracted by somebody, or how to control yourself from getting attracted to somebody. And he made a very nice point. He said, just remain brahmachari for this lifetime and you can be grihastha for eternity. Because in spiritual world, nobody is a brahmachari. So he said, remain a brahmachari this lifetime and then you can be, if you want, you can be a grihastha for eternity. Very valid point. But you have to do the austerity. You have to surrender to Krishna. Once you do it, everything is nice, comfortable. And when difficulties come, because it will in the material world, it will come. Just face it, take a deep breath in, say, Krishna, help me out. And he helps you out. And many times, yes, Mataji, please, go ahead. No? You know, I remember, not remember, but I have this, how to say, interaction, you know, with deities. Many times you want something, you have a desire, you just go and say, "My dear Lord, I have this desire, please fulfill it." As far as it's bona fide desire, He fulfills it. If it's not a bona fide desire, He doesn't fulfill it. You know, one day I remember we came for Salil Bihar many years ago. And we were all there waiting, offered flowers, and it was the end. And it was time for us to go back. And at that moment, Jananyas Prabhu started to do the offering to Radha Madhava. We said, "Mashai, please, you know, let's wait for the offering to finish. We can take some prasadam and go." He said, no, we are getting late. We have to get up tomorrow morning. Please, no. Okay. I was like, "Radha Madhava, please, we need some Mahaprasadam of yours." And at that time, offering finished, curtain open, and prasadam distribution started. I said, "Please, can we have..." "No, we have to go back." "Okay, Radha Madhava, please, we require your Mahaprasadam. Please do something." We are like 4 or 5 boys. And paid obeisances. And because the prasadam distribution had already started, there were devotees already going, and somebody dropped, you know, 2 pieces of jackfruit. And when I paid obeisances, it was right underneath my hand, you know, when I paid obeisances, it was right there. And so it was like, "Haribo!" You know, we distributed this 2 jaguar among 5 of us. We were happy, we got Radha Madhava's Mahaprasadam. And so many times you have some desire like that, you just come out like, "My dear Lord, I have this desire." The bona fide desires, I have heard from many devotees, you know, immediately gets fulfilled. You know, so many times. So the only thing we got to do is just surrender. But this only thing becomes extremely difficult when we remain attached to our belongings, to the material world and its phenomena. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions and comments? Mataji, you had a question? Probably maybe you can give the mic.
Question is about some devotees who are devotees, but they don't want to surrender completely, because as you say, if we don't have like completely bona fide desires, not like to enjoy something not so devotional, so they will be not allowed to enjoy that. So what will be the advice? Or?
I would say give up the desire. Because Krishna is the only one who can fulfill desire. Srila Prabhupada says, a living entity, the only thing he can do is choose if he wants to be with Krishna or with Maya. That's the only thing a living entity can do, desire. Either Krishna or Maya. So now we have to see what we want in our life. Do we want to take another life, another birth? Go through the pains of taking a birth, getting sick, getting old, die? Do we want to go through all those things? Or we actually want to just go back to Godhead? Because in Godhead, you know, you have trees which are your desire trees. You ask for something, it just appears. You know, so even if we have desire, you know, it may not get fulfilled by our own endeavor. It may get fulfilled, but then you are embracing Maya. It's okay, please keep me here. Don't allow me to go to Krishna. The best is just give up that desire. Because you know it's not a bona fide desire. You know, it's not bona fide to steal. You know, so what do? Give up stealing. You know, murder is not a bona fide thing. Give up killing people. You know, so things like this, something which is not bona fide, just drop it. Give it up. You just stop desiring. And if it's not a bona fide desire, and let's say you drop it, still Krishna may fulfill it, like he did for Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Lord, Lord said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I was looking for broken pieces of glass. I got diamond. What do I require more? I don't want anything more." Still Krishna said, "You had a desire to rule over the whole universe, get a position higher than that of Lord Brahma, have it. You will rule this planet for 36,000 years and you will get my abode, a part of my abode." Now we call it as the North Pole Star or the Dhruva Loka. So if you just drop it, Krishna may even fulfill it. But then you will use it in serving Krishna. So it becomes bona fide. So it's a win-win situation. To just surrender to Krishna is a win-win situation. Either you win this way materially or you win spiritually. Like Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj was saying once, he said, Brahmins, they don't fix their rate for worshipping. When they do yajna, this, that, they don't have a fixed rate. Why? Because let's say you do a yajna in somebody's house. And if the person wants benefit of the yajna, he should give a proper good charity. If he doesn't give proper dakshina, he doesn't get the full benefit. So the Brahman, either he gets the money or he gets the spiritual benefit of doing the yajna. So it's a win-win situation. Is that okay, Mataji? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your lecture. It was very nice. Very good to increase the faith. And my question is, sometimes some desires, they look like material desire, but they end up surrendering to Krishna. I can give an example, like a young boy or a young girl, they may be in love with someone, and they know this person will be for Mangalarti, so I will go there. This person will be there for Mangalarti, so then I will also go there for Mangalarti just to see the boy.
I didn't understand the last line, Mataji, sorry. Maybe just hold the mic a little bit away and you can...
No, I have to hold it here. It's better now?
Yeah.
Okay, I was saying sometimes a desire, it's like, is it material desire or a spiritual desire? Is it yoga maya or mahamaya? And the example is one boy or girl, they're in love with someone, they go for Mangalarti just to see the person.
But then you go over to see the person.
Yeah, but then Krishna is also there. And then the purification is there. So my question, is that yoga maya or is that maha maya? Bringing them for Mangalarti.
So your question is, you have a boy and a girl, they fall in love with somebody and then they go to see them. And you get purified of that desire.
They go to Mangalarti.
Okay. They go to Mangalarti together to see the Lord.
No.
So they go to Mangalarti to take darshan of the Lord. They see the Lord, but they actually go to see each other. Okay. So is that spiritual or material?
Yeah, is that yoga maya or mahamaya?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. the desire to see each other, that is the influence of Mahamaya. But the fact that they are actually going for Mangala Arati, that is the influence of the Yoga Maya. Because if they actually surrender to Krishna, you know, and if they are praying to the Lord, that my dear Lord, please get our relationship fruitful, you know, let us get together. So you do get the aspect of Krishna's mercy. You know, but the thought that I want to see that boy or I want to see that girl and they come from Mangala Arati, and the fact that nobody else will figure it out that we are going to check each other out, that's Mahamaya. So that's called engaging, well, it's not called, but yes, you are engaging your conditioned nature in somewhat a proximity of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so it will give some benefit that they are actually there, they are hearing Krishna's holy name, they are seeing the beautiful form of Radha Madhava, Panchatattva, Prahlad, Narasimha, you know, coming in the association of a Vaishnava. So that spiritual benefit is there, but they don't receive it full benefit because of the desire to just go and see each other. That is, so it's both involved. Is that okay, Mataji? Any other questions? Comments? Okay. So we'll end here. Vyandara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande. 9 to 14.